Hello and welcome to the Record Swappers. My name is Gabriel, and I am joined, as always, by Viking.
I'm Viking, and I accidentally opened the wrong drink, so I cannot fuck that.
Oh, well,
so I have two open beverages on this podcast, so we're getting really off the dark on this podcast.
And we're getting crunk on non-branded liquids.
Yes.
We are the Record Swappers. We swap a record. We find some facts. We find some thoughts. We find some words. And we say them to your ear holes. And we put out into the interverse. And today we're doing...
Multiverse?
No, the interverse.
The interverse.
Interverse. Yeah. And today we're doing Jane Brown's A Soulful Christmas. Or James Brown's Soulful Christmas.
Depending if you're a big Spotify corporation.
Yeah. So we're going to do that, and we're going to swap it to all the swappies. But speaking of James Brown, he is a black artist, and we're going to do some Black Artist Matter recommendation.
Yes.
So who wants to start?
I can start, I guess.
Do you want to start? Start with your bad self. Huh?
My recommendation is Melissa Levaux.
You always pick these French names. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Melissa Levaux.
Levaux.
I even googled it to make sure, but I've seen a theater production with the name Levaux, so I kind of know.
Okay, good. Because I forgot to check that, and I checked out this word that comes out here is Haitian.
Yeah.
Haitian Canadian singer.
Oh, nice.
She's a Haitian Canadian singer. Kind of like
Ish-nation.
Kind of like another Arcade Fire member.
I was gonna say, do you mean Drake because he's from Canada? But that was that would be a weird one. But yeah, Regine Chassang makes such more sense in that context.
But she's also currently based in Paris, France, of course. She's really cool. Like, she really blends a lot of like Afro-Caribbean rhythm with like indie folk pop, and it's a very good like mesh of things together, and it's really good. Do you have any opinions on
it? Was good. I was listening to two songs that was in French, Haitian, French. We talked about this with Regine. I don't really know if it's like a dialect of the French language from Haiti, but I was listening to those songs that had that language, and it was good. And then I listened to the two English songs that were on the like top Spotify, and there was one about like sail or boat or something. I can't remember the name.
My Boats, I think.
Yeah, and it was so good because I liked what they did musically, and it was like a cool contrast.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Definitely a great song.
I have picked, through the help of the introverts, The Reminders, which are a rare and remarkable musical duo that seamlessly... I did it, blending soulful sounds and roots music with their insightful messages and thoughtful lyrics. The group consists of Aja Black and Big Samir. And actually, Big Samir is a bilingual French and English guy, it seems like, because that's what it says in the Spotify. It says he weaves intricate rhythmic patterns with a bilingual. I love podcasts that can't say things. French and English flow. Yeah, bilingual. See, now I can. Bilingual French and English flow. So quick beat. You know, in a podcast, you can just edit out all your mistakes, but no. Life is not easy.
The mistakes are the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about it. Think about it.
So I just found them today, and they have such a cool sound. So I really recommend people to check them out. They have a lot of good songs, but the song that I was talking to you about, I found on YouTube with a music video, and it was really good.
Yeah.
The Foundation one.
Yeah, they kind of blew me away also.
Viking is surprised that I have good music taste by the help of Interverse.
I get I get so much disappointed every time he brings up a new musician. But
exactly. But
sometimes you find a dime. No, he has a good music taste.
Yeah, it's good. It was really surprising. So
but yeah, they are really good. I also liked the song "Dust and Bones."
Oh yeah, that was good too.
Yeah.
I want to say, like we've said before, some of these artists I kinda am very intrigued to pick an album from, and I saw that a lot of their like top 10 whatever Spotify songs was from their latest album. I think from 2019. I was like, maybe in the future, because if the whole album has that sound, it was really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I mean, we'll probably do that. Maybe. Okay, I shouldn't say this loud, so I'll whisper. Okay, good.
I'm done with it.
I mean, we just take all the artists we have recommended and the ones we want to recommend and see if there's any awesome albums we want to take. Yeah,
I mean,
That could be like an awesome future idea that we'll talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, before getting into the album, how have you been, Viking? How have you been for all the cameras? I'm talking with my hands a lot.
Doesn't it feel great like to have like... We done Goo, and then we did the Hamilton, and now we have kind of a, at least for me, been a very laid back, easy researchable.
Not only Goo and Hamilton, I would actually say the last almost four episodes have been kind of mind bending research.
Oh, yeah,
and the mind bending research is wonderful sometimes, but also when you do them kind of after another, especially Goo because of the hiatus or the break or what you want to call it. That we had almost a whole month with it, and then we did Hamilton, which we condensed into such a short show. For us, I mean, 2 hours is long, but still, we could have done that longer, and we had a guest on it, which is kind of amazing, our first guest, and we did something that could have taken, honestly, I think, 4 hours for us to make.
Definitely.
And we did it in a good time with good talking points.
Also, you did, like... two episodes where there were something you had to watch.
Yeah, I've been on the watchy train. I mean, it was just happenstance.
Yeah.
Technically, also they weren't supposed to be. Oh, nothing. Yeah. No.
Okay, you don't want to get that behind the scenes.
Yeah, of course, into the intricacies of my brain.
So it's been kind of like we can. Take a chill this episode and just hang out.
Yeah, we've had some soulful times. Yeah. And I've had some... it was nice also. I mean, we've done this... And we've talked about this. Sometimes you want a long time or not long time. And it, sometimes also for the podcast.
Yeah.
It's interesting in the aspect of research time and kind of like perfecting your notes and all that shit. Yeah. You know, sometimes you... When we listen to something for such a long time, we not forget our first impressions, but it doesn't become a job, but it gets to that. Like, I've listened to it so many times, I can't even remember my initial thoughts and, like, the fun times of it. It's like, there's still fun times because it's amazing music, but also it's like, I want it to be over.
Yeah, no, also, like, in the aspect of, like, this album, we could, like, pick and choose our rabbit hole, because this is a Christmas album, we're more focusing on the album, and, like, not so much on James Brown.
Which will, I promise you, we will revisit.
I don't think, like, for the record, I'm gonna put this on the record here.
Yes.
Like, our Christmas episodes, I don't think should count to our double up episodes. Like, you should be able to do a James Brown down the line and not as the start of a season.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I've never thought that these Christmas albums, and if we would come back to the same artist as a revisit.
Yeah.
My thought of revisiting as the whole of this podcast is, like, every time we do a new season, we get one revisit, season. And if we want to change it, we change it. But when it comes to the Christmas ones, which are very chillax, we get to do them whenever we want. Absolutely.
So before we start...
Oh, no, I was just going to say...
Okay.
It's been also just fun. Mm,
yeah,
because, I mean, we're not ending the podcast or ending season two yet, but I still have this feeling like I'm really happy to do this podcast. It's really fun to do with you. The last episode was really fun because we got a guest on and stuff, and this has been fun because it's just like a chill and we get to hang out. And also it's kind of nice just hearing us talk and hang out without having all the research behind it. Yeah. Sometimes like, oh, do you know what I found? Hey, do you want to hear this cool anecdote? So it's been just fun talking to each other about music again.
Yeah,
in a sense, which is cool.
Definitely.
I'll let you, I want to open this episode in a particular way, so if you don't want to open it, tell me what you want
to
tell me.
So I forgot to talk to you about this beforehand, so I'm kind of dropping it on you.
Okay. What it is.
So I've been thinking of a new segment of this show.
Oh, okay. We're doing it now, baby.
So I've been hanging on the webpage Who Sampled a lot.
Yes.
And they have a 6 degree of music that they like. You search for two artists and then you find out. Then you get a path between them, like they go through samplings and they go through covers and they go through producers and the band members and everything. So I think it would be fun if we started every episode with trying to connect the previous artist with the artist we're doing now.
Okay. We can try that for January forward.
But I have...
Oh, you have one now?
Yeah, okay. I have for you now. So how would you go connect Lin-Manuel Miranda with James Brown?
This
is a pretty easy connection.
I mean, Chuck D. I would connect them by Chuck D.
Okay.
Because so. Chuck D was at the Hamilton show, and Chuck D is quoted talking about James Brown.
Okay. So, yeah, but
I don't know if that connects. If it has to be musical, is the thing.
Yeah, or... yeah. If you have a musical connection, because there's the easy one. If you think about it,
I know that. I think it is Public Enemy. I think has a uses a bad self lyric, and Public Enemy is referenced in Hamilton.
Yeah, that's also one.
So that's only two ones I got. I don't know if there's anyone else.
Yeah, there's one. If I give you the hint of table.
Ah, Questlove.
Yes.
Something with Questlove. What does this have? How does Questlove connect to James Brown? I don't actually know that.
Yeah. So I can give you here because how it connects is kind of hard. But
yeah.
Questlove appears playing the table in... 10 Dual Commandments.
Yes.
He also sampled in one of his songs, Slum Village 2000 and Beyond. He sampled Funky Drummer by James Brown.
Okay, I get you.
So it's a pretty easy path.
I'll try to do one for next one about mine, and we'll see if you can get it.
Yeah.
I don't know how. So I have to connect James Brown to whatever I'm doing next.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a possibility it will work. But speaking about his... speaking about the Godfather of Soul, Mr. Dynamite, Soul Brother number one, and his bad self, James Brown, do you want to get into the album?
Definitely.
I tried to find as many nicknames as I could.
Yeah.
I mean, the Godfather of Soul and Mr. Dynamite I knew. Soul Brother number one I missed, and his bad self, I'm like, oh yeah, of course. His bad self, James Brown! So James Brown, we're going to just keep this light because it's a Christmas album.
Yeah.
But
we're not going to get into all the drama.
So I want two things. I want to say, if you want to know stuff about James Brown and you want to watch a movie, go see the James Brown biopic or biopic. Mm-hmm. We'll do a poll for that and fanzine.
Yeah, but, we're also going to find a connection to Hamilton in that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you did. But I want to say that's a movie with Chadwick Boseman playing James Brown. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie. It's not like a good... I'm doing bunny rabbit ears thingies, quotations. It's not a good movie in that sense, but it's an interesting way of doing a biopic. I think... James Brown biopic and the Elton John biopic are two of the most interestingly done in how they try to portray the story. It's not like the normal way, not to spoil. So it's interesting. You should watch that.
Yeah.
But otherwise, James Brown was an American singer, songwriter, dancer, musician, record producer, band leader, and business empirist or business conglomerate. I don't know what it's called, but you know what I mean. Like a Trump, but James Brown. And he over the course of his career, has made 59 albums.
Yeah.
And he recorded, had 17 recorded singles that reached the number one spot on Billboard's R&B charts. He also holds the record for the most singles listed on the Billboard Hot 100 chart that didn't get to number one.
Oh, wow.
So it's like somewhere in that the number 101, he has the most. He is ranked number 7 on Rolling Stone's list of 100 great artists of all time. And he continued to perform and record until his passing in 2006. Yeah. And the last album he did was 2002. And he was still touring the same like year and day, 2006. Which we're going to get to a little also.
Yeah, and also like this album we're talking about today, I saw for Christmas, is his 22nd. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, 22nd.
Yeah, it always sounds weird.
Yeah, you want to say 22ist, yeah, right? Or is that what you want to say?
No, but it's just something with like...
Two twos.
Yeah, 20 and second. Yeah. Like, yeah,
but also when you spell it, like I think Wikipedia has it 22nd. Like I think, or something, and it's weird seeing it like that. But yeah, 22nd.
Yeah, and also like in my mind, I'm maybe thinking 20 seconds.
Oh yeah,
which is like yeah.
Wait, 20 seconds is the 20, 40. So that's the first movie of the 60 seconds trilogy with you know with Nicolas Cage. You have 20 seconds, 40 seconds, and 60 gone in.
I thought you were going with like a 30 seconds to Mars.
But it's like before 30 seconds to Mars was 30, it was 20 seconds to, I don't know, Uranus. Oh, he said Uranus on the podcast, bro.
Oh my god. What I was gonna say was like it's his 22nd album. It released in 1968, and he made his first album in 1958.
10 years, bro.
Yeah.
10
and
years.
In those 10 years, he made 22 records.
And the weird thing is, like, when you look at it, you think, oh, like one record per year. No, man. But this comes back to the work ethic we talked about with the Simon Garfunkel, where you're like, oh, you have 6 months to make it. Oh, no, we'll do it in 3 months. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like they were just pumping out, and the touring was a thing, but it was different then. It wasn't as international. Later would come to grow, which happened for James Brown and others. So it was a lot of recording, a lot of pumping out, and they also recorded sometimes a lot of albums in the same year and just released them. So you had like a back catalog, kind of like we do with the podcast episodes. You have a back catalog, so you can always fall on something.
A thing I kind of realized when I was looking around is like, it seemed like James Brown really liked Christmas.
Yeah.
There's even, I actually forgot to write the name of the book title, but I found I was going to say a biopic book.
Biography.
Biography. That's what's
it. I want to say the rabbit hole of James Brown's biography books, but singular. I mean, plural books that he's written himself in bunny quotes. He loves to talk. He's a narcissist, and you have to love it.
Yeah, also like I love. We're gonna come to a person that wrote a biopic. I'm saying biopic book every time now. A biography book on James Brown, and he's like, there's written a lot of. Because I read the interview with him, and he was saying like, there's been a lot of books written about James Brown. They're mostly lies, but mine is the real one. No, I thought that was very fun.
Nice.
But
you're gonna go into this Christmas story, right?
I have a little Christmas story, and
I have maybe the same. But you go, and if I want to pause you, I will just hit you in the face.
Yeah. Like you usually do.
Yeah. It's all love, baby. Yeah. All love.
Yeah. It's a very destructive relationship. Yeah, so in the 90s, James Brown started the James Brown toy giveaway, which was kind of, he would dress up like Santa and give presents to like children that was from poor neighborhoods, especially like...
Do you know where also?
Oh, yeah. I knew where, but I forgot
the Imperial Theater in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, Augusta, yeah.
A short distance from the bronze statue that is commemorating the man.
Of course it's Augusta. What did I think about Augusta? I read every TripAdvisory comment on that statue.
And they were all 5 stars, right?
No.
So now you know, in a couple of years, we're doing the Record Swappers statue tour. We're going to Freddie Mercury's, we're going to James Brown, and every other that we have done. Keep on with the story.
This is a thing that's still continuing today, or at least until 2019. So I don't know how it will be this year because of Corona.
Maybe they'll postage it.
Yeah, but it's now run by his daughter, Deanne Brown Thomas.
Yeah.
And the last thing that connects James Brown to his Christmas is his death.
Yeah.
Because he's about... So he passed away on Christmas Day 2016 from a heart failure due to pneumonia.
No, wait. You're saying the 25th is Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Christmas. Yeah. No. Eve is 24th and Christmas Day is 25th. Yeah. And Boxing Day is the 26th.
Yeah.
I hate English. Swedish. No, but yeah, he was the age of 73 and he was, I have something. I have a quote from James Brown and I want to talk about this, the age he was and giving out presents. So he was handing out a basketball to one of the kids, and this is one in 1992. So James Brown said, "I remember when I was poor. I remember Christmas days when I had no toys at all. So enjoy your gift and do well at school and follow your dreams." And this is what he told a boy that he gave a basketball to. And just like you said, 3 days before his death, at the age of 73, he was there in Augusta, Georgia, at the Imperial Theater, handing out presents. Mm. And he was like doing a show the day before he died or something.
Yeah.
I mean, the man was nonstop. Yeah. Hamilton did it. And that's just like, and we've talked about this with like when we talked about Freddie Mercury, David Bowie, when we mentioned that, like the work effort these people had, like these older generation. I hope it passes down to us. I hope. So we are positively, now I'm saying it, the positively stubborn and work and work and work, but we also take time for ourselves. But like we work as they work, then leave that cool legacy. I also want to talk about a friend talking about James Brown's passing. So have you heard of the Reverend Jesse Jackson? Quite famous. U.S. civil rights leader. He was quoted saying, "It was a dramatic, poetic moment dying on Christmas Day. He was all over the news, all over the world on Christmas Day. He wouldn't have it no other way." I love that Jesse Jackson accidentally rhymes while talking about like how awesome that he's like, he had to die on Christmas Day because he was such, you know, like a big star. He had to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
He wouldn't have it no other way. And it kind of does feel like a James Brown thing. It's like, hey, Jesus, back off. It's my day. Santa, back off. It's my day. Yeah, I love that, man. So he has had interesting and difficult past, but when you look at these moments, you just have to respect the man for those moments that are like this, which are amazing. I have found the band members. So do you have anything to talk about? Or do you want to like know who's on the band or like?
Well, I have information on everybody's written songs for this album.
Oh, okay.
And some of them are part of the band, so I guess we could like
do like we did last time. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna start, and we'll see if this works. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have, guess it, James Brown on the vocals.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Do you have anything about James Brown that we didn't already say?
Well, yeah. No, that's...
Okay, we got Sweet Charles Sherrill that plays the bass.
No, and nothing in him.
Okay, Jimmy Nolan on the guitar.
Nope.
Alfonso Country Callum, or yeah, Callum, I think it is, on guitar and bass.
Nope.
Nate Jones on drums.
Yeah, Nate Jones I have.
Okay, what do you have about him?
So, yeah, so he's supposed to be the director of the James Brown band, I read, like, at least some part. And I had the kind of, like there's not much on that, you know, but I found kind of an article when he passed away, and about his brother talking about, like, in 1964, Jones traveled to a James Brown show in Greensboro, where he provided speakers to James Brown, and then also auditioned for the band.
Nice.
A few weeks later, James told him where to go, and he played in the band, and he wrote many hits and recruited the people from Kingston to play. So Nat Jones recruited like McKeel, I think that's how it's pronounced, McKeel, his reference in the song, in one of the songs on this album, and also Melvin Parker. And also on May 1st, 1966, he's the saxophonist who played the solo on James Brown's I Feel Good at the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, which nice. Is a classic. Oh, God, Ed, just hearing the words Ed Sullivan Show. Yeah. I'm not even that old, but that makes me feel old because I watched that in reruns. So we got Clyde Stubblefield on the drums.
Yeah, no, nothing on
it. Gene Redd on... And this is weird, but it says Gene Redd on vibes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what vibes they mean, just all the good ones, I guess.
I mean, like...
All the good vibes.
Kind of like drug provider.
He's just like the guy we were talking about for, you know, Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
But instead of being, you know, the physical and physical, like, therapist, he is the vibes guy.
I think it's a vibraphone.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I love that the shortening is. But you don't have anything about Gene Redd?
I have Gene Redd. So that's the... Okay, that's cool. Because I was wondering what instrument that was. I mentioned him, like, yes, through in a comment in... I think it's the song Let's Unite the Whole World.
Oh, okay.
Christmas, because... yeah, there's some good music there, but I don't have how much. He seems like a cool studio musician.
He seems to have a cool vibe about him.
And I think he was an A&R guy for King's Records, maybe. I think it is.
Yeah.
For a while.
Which is the same, right?
Yeah.
This is King Records. Yeah. This album is by.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah. So let's keep on keeping on. We have Maceo Parker, which is tenor sax and piano. You talked about Maceo, right?
Yeah.
He gets mentioned in a song.
Yeah.
We have Alfred P. W. Ellis on alto sax and piano.
Yeah. Here I have someone. He's a saxophonist, composer, and arranger. He was one of the core members of the band during the 60s. And so here we have the connection. So another connection between James Brown and Hamilton is this. So in 2014, in the movie Get On Up, Ellis is played by Tariq Trotter, a.k.a. Black Thought from The Roots. And we didn't really get onto this, but The Roots made one of the Hamilton mixtapes.
No, we talked about that.
But we kind of didn't talk about it was in the credits of the musical and stuff.
We forgot about that. Yeah.
But But yeah, so they did a remix of My Shot. So that's also a connection between this everything.
Okay,
everything is connected. That's what I'm telling you.
We have Saint Clair Pickney on baritone sax.
No.
Okay, nothing. We got Wayman Reed on trumpet.
No.
Okay, now we got the guy that is actually probably the drug guy for the band, just because of his name. His name is Richard Kush Griffith on trumpet.
You get some Kush.
Yeah, he's on trumpet, the Kush guy.
No, I got nothing on
him. We got Fred Wesley on trombone.
Nope.
Richard Jones on violin and Marilyn Jones on violin. Sylvia Medford on violin.
No.
And then the record is arranged by Alfred P. Wee Ellis and Nat Jones and produced by James Brown.
Yeah. But yeah, I have some further.
Have more about...
There's some other people that have contributed to the writing of the song.
But you don't want to get into them when we talk about the songs in particular? Or do you want to do
no,
it now?
No, because they're all over the place. So I thought I'd get it all, then I can just mention.
Okay, that seems good. I have one thing before going into the record. So you go take that, I'll take my thing, and we're doing it.
So one person is Charles Bobbitt, which was a very close confidant to James Brown. And he was actually there when he died. He was like sitting by his bedside, pretty much. So he tells a great story, how he came to work with James Brown. So I'm just going to read this quote that he tells. I saw James Brown at the Apollo. I told my wife, Ruth, I would work for James Brown one day. My future was with him. I asked Mr. Brown for a job, but it took a few meetings before he hired me. The day he hired me, he invited me to his home, and it was there he read me. He told me I would be with him until the day he died. He told me about myself, my ambitions, and knew things about me he couldn't possibly know. I met him in 1966, and it wasn't until 1967 that he hired me. However, during all the time he was secretly training me to be his personal manager, he explained there would be too much jealousy.
We're helping each other today.
Yeah, nah. If he told people I was his personal manager. So he would train me from the ground up. He started me off as his personal valet. Oh my God.
Valet.
Thank you.
Valet. Did.
And I went everywhere with him. While he taught me about the good and the bad of show business. Mr. Brown's training was so intense. Yeah, I called myself having attended the University of Brown.
That's better than the School of Hard Knocks, man. Yeah. Oh, God. Fuck. I mean, that was like so left field and such a good punchline.
Yes.
God.
Yeah, it's a great interview. You can find it if you Google his name in James Brown. It's
Charles really Bobbitt. No.
Charles Bobbitt.
Yeah.
And like, if you think this is cool enough, he also worked 3 years for Michael Jackson as his personal assistant.
Of course, I mean, and the James Brown Michael Jackson connection is very
and they also seem to have worked for Nelson Mandela and some other high up political people.
You know, so
so he'd done some stuff in his life.
Yeah.
So another person that. Is cool is Hank Ballard. That's he is also referenced in one of the songs.
This is a person I've heard before. Yeah. When I Googled, I'm like, I know this band that he plays with. Yeah. So that was cool, seeing that they worked together.
Yeah, so he's a rhythm blues singer and songwriter, and he was the lead vocalist of the Midnighters.
The Midnighters, yes.
Um, uh,
I f- think my mom and dad has or have had a vinyl of them, like a vinyl record of them playing.
Probably.
Because they have they had the Drifters, the Platters, the Midnighters, a lot of the, you know, like death bands, the Temptations, all them.
Yes, and he James Brown also produced one of his solo albums in 1969, so 1 year after this album. The album called You Can't Keep a Good Man Down. Also, it was kind of fun that his cousin is Florence Ballard, who is who was a member of the Detroit girl group The Supremes during the 60s.
Oh, nice. Which I have, I think, somewhere on a vinyl.
Yeah.
I wanna just say now, just because we're on the Hank Ballard train, he also wrote and originally recorded The Twist. That was later covered by Chubby Checker, which was the one that really got, you know, the popularity of the dance out.
Yeah.
But Hank was the one who wrote it and originally recorded it in 59, and that's so cool.
Yeah.
And he was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1990, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. The last person I have something about is Bud Hopgood, which is a fantastic name.
Say again?
Bud Hopgood.
Okay, so it's like a first, middle, and second, last
name?
No. Oh, it's a nickname.
It's Bud.
Yeah.
And it's Hopgood.
Ah, I get you. I almost thought it was like, because it sounded like you were pausing.
Yeah.
So, I get you.
That's an interesting name. Yeah. It's a fantastic name. Unfortunately, there was not much to find about this beautiful name. There were not much, but he seemed to do a lot of production for James Brown during the years on other albums and so on. So he seems like one of those guys that's all been around James Brown during his career. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but you forgot about one person. One person.
Okay.
That...
Santa Claus.
I mean, if only. So we have a person on rateyourmusic.com that has left one of the best reviews. I was on Amazon, because it's very hard to find a lot about this album because it's so small. But I was like on Amazon and stuff, and this was one of the best. So he started in, so it's this review is by Odelay 4444. So 44 two times basically. December 24th, 2011, he gave it 4.5 stars. Coincidence? I think not. I like that I'm just going to say this loud. I have to rewire my brain to say they. So if you ever hear me say he or she, at me in the comments, please. I have to rewire my brain. So they say, no one has given this a review yet. Wait, what? No joke, I was wandering around the supermarket earlier this month when the Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto came on, and as I was browsing the Wheat Thins, if you know what the Wheat Thins are, they're like, what's it called? Cereal, I think.
Yeah.
I lit up like a Christmas tree and turned to the closest customer, a woman who had to be around 55. I exclaimed my delight at hearing the song in such a suburban public setting. The woman, genial over my ebullience, nonetheless only could muster something about fudge-covered Oreos in return. It's like you're just walking down the supermarket and this, and you're like, have you heard this song?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when people lock eyes in a movie, and not like romantic, but you know, like they just realize the same thing.
It's really funny. I can really relate to this, like being at a supermarket and hearing a song. Because I remember, like, once I was at the supermarket and Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd came on for some reason. And so The Wall is a very, like, emotional record for me. I pretty much cry every time I hear that record. So like, me listening to that in a supermarket was very, like, surreal for me.
I can understand that. I mean, that is kind of crazy, to be honest.
So I can feel this, like, what this guy is going through.
Yeah, this person. That's amazing, man.
I want to hear your first impression, if you're done with everything
else. Yeah, I'm done with everything. So my first impressions are... just that this is a fun Xmas album, fun Christmas album, holiday album with a lot of soul and a lot of soul. You get there's a lot of soul music, but there's also like a lot of soul in it. And the feeling of it is really awesome. There's a lot of research rabbit holes that this led us to, or led us from, saying that this album, or like the year coinciding with James Brown. If anybody wants a rabbit hole and wants to know more about James Brown, you should Google James Brown 1968, and you'll get a lot.
Yeah.
And it was just fun, really fun stuff for that. What about you?
Yeah, I mean...
How did you actually find this album?
No, but like, I listen to James Brown. I listen to James Brown.
But I'm the James Brown boy. I'm the one who browns. Yeah. Wait, no, that does not work in the context I was thinking.
No, but it's, yeah, I mean, like, you stumble upon it. And like, and also like, the cover's very eye-catching, like... James Brown in the Santa Claus outfit, and it's very...
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. James Brown in a Santa Claus. I'll be a bad boy.
Yeah.
I always go for this. I hate it.
I always like men in uniforms.
Yeah. I mean, the red kind of makes him look like a fireman, if you think about it.
But I also love, like, he has the pot belly.
I want to say two things. Oh, yeah, the pod belly. I want to say two things. We actually do have some sexy posters of James Brown in my vinyl. You know, the one you can open this. And he's in his suit, of course. Mm. Also, that leads me to... I want my Christmas present next year to be a James Brown calendar with just sexy photos of James Brown. So if somebody can get on that, please do.
Yeah, we need to get the P.O. box.
Oh, yes, please. But what else? What else are your first impressions of this, man?
No, but yeah, I listened to it the first time and I really got like... It's a very like...
Did you get up with your bad self?
It's a fun album, but also like kind of when going through it and like reading all the lyrics and like... There's some things in there that...
There's some real shit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of... A James Brown thing. Yeah. A lot of his records and songs have quite real stuff hidden. And we kind of talked about this with other music that's soul funk and like the blues kind of with Robert Johnson. But these like hidden messages you don't know about. And you think about it and it's crazy. It's cool.
Yeah. And So that's pretty much my first impression. It's like you said, it's a very like... great record. It's like also like kind of like I said last year, like I'm not that much for a Christmas song, so like like when you find these like songs that are about Christmas but are kind of not in the mold of a regular Christmas song,
and some of these songs are not very Christmassy in a song.
So it's fun when you find those songs, and like I rather listen to this than like
I agree. I can agree with that. You want to go to the ghetto? You want to go with Santa Claus straight to the ghetto?
Yes.
Santa Claus go straight to the ghetto. I kind of almost did it.
Yeah.
Straight to the ghetto. Straight to the ghetto. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I love. Okay, so we have a lot of albums where we say the music is amazing, the song is amazing, or the vocals is amazing. The band, I just want to state this, on every song is on point. They're on fire. And James Brown's vocals and energy, of course, it's James Brown.
Yeah, it's like,
it's his bad self. But it's so good. I really like this song. And this, I want to get into like the realness of it.
Yeah.
I really love this line because it kind of talks about the real upbringing of James Brown in a way.
Yeah.
You know that I know that you will see because that was once me when you're talking about Santa Claus going to the ghetto. It's so crazy like how real it gets so fast out of the gate. But you kind of don't think about it because it's hidden in all this music and soul and just energy.
Definitely. And it's really like... Yeah, and like, and I think this song especially like ties so back to to the whole James Brown like toy giveaway.
Oh, yeah.
Because this feels like like him singing about wanting to do the toy giveaway. In a way, like, he wants to be the Santa Claus that gives away the toys in the ghetto.
The ones he never had.
Yeah.
He, I mean, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, just for, like, archivist's sake,
yeah,
I'm going to mention that this song is written by Alfred P.B. Ellis, Charles Bobbitt,
and Hank Ballard.
And Hank Ballard. But I just want to point out that, like, fucking autocorrect, I want to always correct Charles Bobbitt to Hobbit.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
Yeah.
So, I knew it.
So it's, yeah, it's, yeah.
You gotta love it. You wanna go... You wanna go to Santa Claus, Santa Claus?
Oh, I just want to point out that Snoop Dogg also made a song with the same name as this song to, like, kind of honor this song.
Ah, Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto.
And it's from 1996, and you should go check it out because it's a fun song. I watched I kind of watched the music video, and it's a weird it's a weird thing, like everything Snoop Dogg does.
Oh yeah, you should be very careful with Snoop Dogg and his videos. If you know, if you're old enough, you know.
Yeah.
You are liking now. I see it.
I mean,
that's another podcast.
I was kind of. I actually watched it on the bus, and I was kind of sitting like.
That's another episode, man.
But I was sitting cooping your hands around.
Yeah, you were just protecting your screen.
Yeah, like so no one can watch her.
When we ever get like an X-rated episode, we'll talk about that. But now we're going to Santa Claus, Santa Claus, with the second song on the album. I love the reference to his first album and the song Please Please.
Oh yeah.
Because he says two pleases. Yeah. So that it's kind of like a please 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 reference.
Yeah.
Santa Claus, please please don't make me suffer, so can't take it no more. And that kind of works with the please please don't go, you know that.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about the real lyrics again, like the real hits you hard. I went to the welfare, but I wanted a little help. Hey, I just can't. I gotta help myself. It's like if you can't get it from the welfare, the state, you have to make it on your own. And that's kind of sad somehow.
Yeah, and this is like, because this is a song that when I started looking at the lyrics and like realizing what it was really about and like looking at it and like this song about like the perspective of a child being Santa Claus for help because he's like mother and father sick and
or can't work or don't get a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we've talked kinda but on podcast but a lot about this black business, how much they have to work, and the American economy. It's crazy.
And like Santa Claus being his last out pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's very like disheartening.
Yeah, and the growing up, like you believe in Santa, but he's not helping you, so you have to help yourself.
Yes, but then I also went down. I peeled one layer more of the onion, and it really got weird for me because I realized this song is about a black man.
Oh, singing about a white man.
Not singing. Begging a white old man for help to get out of poverty.
Yeah, true. And he's talking about the welfare and stuff.
Yeah.
And technically a rich old white man because Santa Claus is rich because he owns a factory and shit.
So, yeah. So that got really weird with me.
I didn't even think about that, man. Yeah. That kind of destroyed me a little right now.
Yeah.
That kind of broke my brain a little. So now I'm just thinking about like, you know, like almost like the Kurt Russell Santa, but he comes in a business suit and a briefcase and just walks by.
Yeah. So the only thing that kind of saves this song for me is looking at the lyrics of this song and thinking of the cover of this album that he's singing to the black James Brown Santa Claus.
Yeah. The Santa Claus he wants to be or have.
Yeah. So that kind of, yeah. But otherwise than that, and like, if you don't listen to the lyrics that close, it's a very like,
Yeah.
It's a really good song. Like, it has great music and great singing from Niels Brown.
That's I always. Agree. So the next song is Believers Shall Enjoy, But Non-Believers Shall Suffer.
So the thing I wrote about this song is this is the most fire and brimstone title of any Christmas song.
It kind of sounds like you would go to it's a death metal Christmas song. Because like, believers shall enjoy, but non-believers shall suffer.
Yeah, it's a very like,
I love my autocorrect. A very winging tune. I meant swinging tune.
Yeah.
It's very swinging. It's very upbeat.
So this song is written by Bud Hubgood and Nat Jones. It's an instrumental song. It's kind of a little short, nice jazz interlude. And it has a fun like part where it goes into Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for a second.
Rudolph. I don't want to get...
And I think that are the vibes that's playing.
Yeah, I thought that was a xylophone first, but when you see it, or see that it's a vibes, that's the good vibes on this.
I think like vibes is kind of a xylophone, but electric. It kind of seems like that.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. We'll learn one day.
Yeah.
One of these
music.
Things.
Music. It's not that we like...
No,
no,
we don't have a podcast.
I was going to say, it's not like we do this for a living, but that would be a real life.
Yeah, we can't do this.
When you support us that...
Oh, we'll...
So this is the thing. If you support us so much, we could do this for a living. Oh, yeah. Then we will get into musical theory.
We will get into musical theory. We'll take classes. We'll have our musical expert on point, on standby. Yeah. Anything else about this, or you want to go to a soulful Christmas?
No, let's go. I'm breaking up my second drink here, and we go to soulful Christmas.
So I want
to
say the band is on point for this, and Maceo on the sax, Maceo, as James Brown says.
Yeah,
I love that he also uses Maceo's name as a rhyme. I can't remember the lyric right now, but it's like so funny. He uses Maceo's name as a rhyme and shouts him out, and then he starts playing. So it's like triple effecta, trifecta.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the lyrics later, but you go, man.
So this song is written by Alfred Ellis, Charles Bobbitt, and Hank Ballard. And I just want to remind you that James Brown loves you.
Yeah, he does love me.
Yeah. No, but it's a very nice song.
That's why I
want
to talk about it. It's those lyrics, kinda. So.
And this might be also what you're gonna talk about. But I love like the part of him practically thanking everybody for buying his records and seeing his shows.
This is what I want to talk about. So the lyrics are: "You've been so nice to me down through the years, and I'll always remember you. Well, I'll never forget. You bought my records, come to see my show. That's why Jane Browns love you so. You come to see my show. That's a debt I'll always owe." But I also love that he's saying debt as a positive thing. It's like, you took your time for me. Yeah. I'll give you the time you deserve. Kind of. It's not like...
I released 50 albums.
Yeah, but it's not like you're just fans.
Yeah.
You know, like he's looking down. It's like, you gave time to me. You're like a part of this. And it gives you, it's kind of like how we have the YouTube or TikTok communities, you know, people that are like, oh, I listen or watch this person, and I can write to people on the Twitter and the Facebook about this community. It kind of feels like he was doing that, but without the social media at the time. It's like, you are my community, you are my listeners, I'll give my time back to you. And that's cool.
Yeah, I also love this last part of this song that is, "Come to see my show, see you at Christmas. Come to see my show, see my show."
Yeah.
Which is, it just paints the pictures in my head of James Brown standing in the street corner, dressed in the Santa suit, handing out flyers.
And ringing the bell.
Yeah, and like begging people to come and see his show.
Hear ye, hear ye.
It sounds kind of like desperate.
I kind of want him with the bell and then doing like the boogaloo or the James Brown-ish moonwalk, you know?
Yeah, it's fun.
You want to have a tit for tat? Ain't No Taking Back?
Yeah.
So there's a couple lines in this. When you look on the lyrics, it says like mumbled. Yeah. And in one of the mumbles things he says, hide and go seek. Very like playfully. But if you kind of twist it and put take the music away and put in thrilling music, it kind of sounds like he's like a Jason serial killer. He's like, hide and go seek. Or like Freddy Krueger.
It's kind of like, because I recently watched Friday the 13th again.
Oh, yeah.
Like the mother going like, killer, mommy, killer.
In the kiddie room? There's plenty of toys. Hide and go seek. I love that we're doing a James Brown cinema verse where he plays a killer. It's not like, no, let him play Jesus or somebody. Let's make him a serial killer. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I mean, like,
it's just like the things he say line up so well.
Yeah. So this is a so-called stealthy Christmas song, I would say.
What?
A stealthy Christmas song.
I thought you said a selfie. I'm like, how is it a selfie?
And these are the kind of songs that I like, because it's not outright about Christmas. It's more like the spirit of the holiday.
The spirit of giving.
Yeah, and like for me this song is kind of about James Brown telling like all the families to not argue and love each other and hang out and be friends.
Tit for tat, ain't no taking back.
Yeah. And there's some great horns in this song.
Like, agreed.
Yeah. And it was written by Charles Bobbitt and Nat Jones, so yes, you know.
Christmas is coming.
Is it?
Yeah, that is. Christmas is coming is the next song.
Yeah.
Band is on point. This is one of those audio ones. And the band.
The audio ones?
The audio ones.
Well, technically, every song on this album is an audio one.
What's it called?
Instrumental. Yeah, that's it.
Audio only, technically, you could say.
No, but. What? No!
No, because audio only means no vocals.
No, audio means. Oh my god, you're stupid.
I'm just pulling your leg.
Oh my god.
But a song that's vocals only is no audio, right? I'm just joking. Yeah.
Table flip.
Table flip. But the band is on point.
Yeah.
The band is on fire.
So this song is also written by Bud Howgood and Nat Jones. And it's. Did you catch what song it goes into? Because it has the same like kind of interlude.
Thing. I forgot to write it down. I did know which one it was, but I didn't have time to write it.
No, because I tried to figure it out, but I couldn't. But yeah.
Oh yeah, because you're not grown up with the English versions of these songs, maybe, or like because there's a.
Maybe because I hate Christmas song in general.
I mean, we could figure it out, but
yeah.
You want to figure it out right now on air?
I tried to Google it and I couldn't get anything. No. So,
but yeah,
yeah,
it was a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song. Yeah, I like this. Like,
yeah, it gives you time to breathe. It's a good way of
but also out. Like it's.
This is kind of a positive way of doing fillers that we talked about. Like, it's a way of getting you to breathe and just chill. And it's like when you're doing stuff at home, if you want to get up and dance for the other songs, then this is when you're like, ah.
It's also kind of like interesting. We kind of talked about James Brown being a bit of a narcissist. And
he doesn't sing for all the songs?
Yeah. And it's kind of like he lets his band play. And like...
I don't know. This is not the same. This is the James Brown band, I guess, because it doesn't say the famous flames. But when he has the famous flames and doing his like live stuff, I mean, you just can see them on stage playing and he is like, have fun. I'm going away.
Yeah.
And he's just dancing around and like having fun with this band. And it's amazing. And also, not only this band on this album, but the famous flames are always on point. And it's one of the most famous bands for being on point, for every like
definitely
show.
And so but it's fun that he actually does that he lets like his musicians, because not many, like when you have a named like when you have a named artist when it's not like a band, when you have a named artist that has a band, that band usually don't get a space to like...
Yeah, not a lot of spotlight. And it's always like in the beginning or in the end. This was this person on guitar.
Yeah. So it's very nice to have that.
You wanna say it loud?
Oh, yeah.
So this is the name of the song. Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, Part 1 and 2 is the same.
Yeah.
So I want to just go into story time before story time of my life with this song.
Oh yeah.
I grew up with James Brown records, and this was in the Gabriel household when I was a small children I was. And this song has changed and influenced so much in the world, and it's so weird how it's changed me, but also because it's like one of the James Brown songs I remember hearing as a small child. And I remember singing and dancing to this in the living room, like on our big Persian carpet. And, you know, like there was Jesus paintings on the wall, and there was like just bookshelves of what's it called? Family albums. And, you know, like it's imprinted like a surreal memory. And I just remember it. And I never knew what the song was about because I was so young.
Yeah.
And then you grow up and you learn about it and it's cool. And I never knew. And we're gonna get into this, but I also never knew that it was for this album first and foremost. I thought it was for the named album that has the "Say It Loud" and "Bracken," which we're gonna talk about.
Yeah.
Before going in like the history, do you have anything to say, like in general? Like, I feel it's an amazing song.
Yeah, it's really a very good. Iconic song, and I mean, yeah, and like kind of you said, it's kind of a weird fit for this album because it has nothing to do really about Christmas.
Yeah. So I wanna get in.
But I don't know what you're gonna say right now. So tell me.
No, but I agree. It's weird that this is on a Christmas album. You don't think it. So Say It Loud. I'm gonna go through like the history of it. Like we were talking about why is a part one and a part two, because I've always like, oh, it's just both. They're always being both. So I found some history. Say It Loud and Black and Proud was released as a 2-part single, which held the number one spot on the R&B singles chart for 6 weeks and peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100. Both parts of the single were later included on the 1968 album that we're doing now, but also on the 1969 album 1 year later, which was the Say It Loud and Black and Proud. The same. And the song became an unofficial anthem of the Black Power movement, which is understandable. I mean, there's still signs with it today. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has included the song in their 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. This is on spot 305, and that was in 2004. It inspired the title of VH1's television special and box set Say It Loud, a celebration of Black music in America. And it's so cool that even we've been talking about like this Black music, how to find it and still, and we have social media now, but like there was a whole like celebration of Black music in America. It was cool that, very cool. I wanna tell you a story about the young children, you know, the children. So this I never knew.
So I saw this reference to the genius, but I couldn't find. Like,
oh, I found it somewhere else. Yeah. It was in an article or two.
So I didn't want to bring it up, but yeah.
Okay. I want to bring it up. I want to bring up the history of the good and the bad. So I'm going to talk about some bad or interesting, maybe. So the song was recorded in Los Angeles. And it had 30 young people from the Watts and Compton areas, but this is quite ironic, but a lot of the children for the song were actually white and Asian kids. Only a few of them were Black.
Yeah.
And they're saying I'm Black and I'm proud.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But still interesting.
Yeah.
The reason behind James Brown doing this song, there's a couple of different stories.
Yeah.
One story is like, oh, I had there was some people in the community that, you know, came to me and stuff. And I did the song. But this is a legend, an urban legend story. In the early 1960s, James Brown showed very little interest in the civil rights movement, at least in public. And that changed later with Say It Loud and I'm Black and Proud. And his switch from an immaculate process hairdo to an afro. Yeah. But legend has it that his consciousness was raised by a grenade left in his dressing room by the Black Panthers.
Huh.
And James Brown has been quoted saying, I'm more than just an artist.
Yeah.
He said this at the Apollo performance in 1960s. I want to say that I'm a man, a black man, a soul brother.
Yeah.
And some people say it's like he had to say it maybe because of the grenade.
Yeah.
And that's just like a weird, like, we are forcing you to pick this side.
Yeah, I thought it was like, yeah, and like the whole, I read all this and kind of like, not for this podcast.
But, I'm like, it's an urban legend kind of thing. And yeah, it's interesting.
But the whole thing, like, also about him, like, not being involved in the civil rights movement. And, like, we talked about him, like...
owning businesses?
About him supporting Nixon and stuff.
And there's a... Okay, quick. He said, you can't change from outside. You can only change from inside. Yeah. And Hamilton also said you have to be in the room where it happens to change something. So he kind of, in some people's idea, had the right. But agreed. Yeah. I understand.
But also, it's kind of like, it's also very interesting, like, because I saw someone pointing out kind of like the whole, like, so he did this song.
Yes.
And then got very much into the, like, he started like doing more civil rights movement stuff.
Yes. This could be the start of everything, you could say.
Yeah, but also like, yeah, and like, but sir, but why did he like release a very big song and then like started?
There's a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there to unpack.
I mean, we're going to go into one. I'm just going to say, some people have also talked about Ted, the black and poor, but he was like one, a very rich man. But there's a lot of stuff. And I'm not trying to bring up like I joke negative, but it's interesting to give both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about like some fun, cool stuff. And you were checking into samplings. Yeah. And I have some samplings and references that I found on Wikipedia. And I want to talk about this. So if you have samplings you want to talk about.
Well, I can start by saying there's around, I'm ballparking it here, like 237 samplings and referencings, I would say.
Mm.
Like, some of these are not samplings, like taken from the song itself. It's more like them referencing the song in some ways.
Yeah. Do you have any standout ones?
So Insane in the Membrane by Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
That's the drum beat very well. Alchemy by A$AP Rock.
Yeah.
Which is on the Daylight kind of EP thing.
Oh, cool.
That we talked about in that episode. So
it comes back.
Yeah. Nitro by LL Cool J.
Yeah, I was just going to say that one.
Ice Cold by Vanilla Ice.
I was also going to say about
that. Yeah. it's also referenced in Red Hot Chili Peppers' Freaky Style. And Bob Marley's and the Wailers song Black Progress.
I also want to talk about, even though I don't listen to the, this is a name I've seen so many times, and two names, Rakim, Eric B and Rakim, and then Two Live Crew has like done samplings of this. A bass line of Say It Loud and Black and Proud appears in some sections of the track Yesternow on the Miles Davis album, a tribute to Jack Johnson. And this song has been referenced in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So, inspired by Black Power protests, he leads an attempt to hold a protest. Ironically, Will and Carlton, you know, are the only black students in like the school. But this is where he wants a popular teacher to get reinstated. So Will is like, he wants that teacher to come back. And he inspires Cornflake, a white guy, who stands up and shouts, "Fight the power, Will, sing it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." To which Will replies, "See, my man Cornflake's got the spirit. He's a little confused, but he's got the spirit." Yeah. And I'm like, that's so fun.
Man, like, oh my God. Like, going back to the
show. I remember that episode. I just want
to
say that.
Yeah, but going back to the show, you realize how progressive that's like. Because I recently watched a clip from it that's about, like, Will and Carlton get stopped by the police.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that made me cry.
I just want to say,
I've said this before, but every time I'm sick, there's one show I watch, and that's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I just stay in couch or bed, I get all the candy or all the food, all the drinks I need to get well, and I just, I laugh and I cry at Fresh Prince, and it's some nostalgia, but there's... Yeah. I see it in a new light every time. I don't only see it when I'm sick, but it's like a tradition.
It's a very good show.
It makes me happy sad when I watch it when I'm sick. It's like, I'm here sad, but I'm so happy. I want to talk about some celebrities talking. I mean, you may have seen this, but still. So this is Public Enemy's Chuck D. Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud was a record that really convinced me to say I was black instead of a neighbor. Back then, black folks were called neighbors. But James said you can say it loud that being a black is a great thing instead of something you have to apologize for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good quote, actually. It's like...
Yeah.
It's and very, we've very talked good. About Chuck D and it comes all full circle. Yeah.
Everything comes full circle.
Yeah. And it's like how you have to think of something that's, you know, we say neighbor.
So neighbor means the N-word, maybe should say. Like,
yes. Neighbor from Childish Gambino, thank for Childish Gambino. He said neighbor on the television versions of his songs.
Yeah, and we're using Redbone specifically.
Yeah, exactly. And some others. I think Zombies on Terrified also. But and we're trying to use neighbor. But I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting quote.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting quote about a Christmas song, but nobody probably thought it was a Christmas song, just like you and me did. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, like it's almost like him putting this song out to like feel around and like how will people react to this?
Yeah, it's kind of putting out the feelers. I also had the thought is like it's not like he wasn't. He was afraid, but it was kind of like maybe the record company or like the. The system or the music industry won't let me do this. I'm not saying James Brown will be stopped. He did what he wanted. But like, and he sneakily like put it in another album, not just to feel things out, but just like, here you go.
Yeah.
This is in the world. But right now, we're not in the world. We're in the middle, part one.
Yes, in the middle.
Malcolm in the Middle?
Oh, yes, like to talk about Say It Loud, I'm Black and Proud.
Parts 1 and 2?
Yes. It's written by James Brown. And also, apparently, like on the Wikipedia, doesn't state it, but like somewhere else I saw it, also, what's his name now? Alfred Ellis was also part of writing the song.
Yeah, I've seen that once or twice.
So, yeah, that should be it. But, yeah. So we...
The middle.
Done the work. In the middle is written by Bob Hopgood and Nat Jones.
Like, why is it a part one? Does anybody know?
I mean, like, it's probably like the whole single thing again.
Maybe. That's true.
Yeah.
The sax. I almost forgot. The sax. So, the horns.
So this is another instrumental song. And this doesn't have, like, for... Like almost every instrumental song for this, they have this little section that they go into a famous Christmas song, but I think this is a previous released song that they also taken from another record.
I think you may be correct, putting in a next episode.
But it doesn't feel like a Christmas song. That's
I must
my point.
Say, I have a small like member berry in my brain that in the middle, no matter which part, is a James Brown song I've heard.
Yeah.
Because I think there's where he sings, then and in the middle. So I think it's a thing.
So
this could also be a... audio instrumental version of that song where he's like that in the middle
or if it has a long intro or something
true.
But yes,
you wanna,
but yeah, it's barely a Christmas song, that's my
it's a song, but right now we want to not just talk about songs, we want to talk about a message that's very important. Yeah. And that's, let's unite the world at Christmas.
No, the message is stop banging the fucking table.
Let's unite the world at Christmas. Wait.
Oh my god.
You happy now?
No, I'm not happy.
You know I'm editing this. It's worse for me. I'm doing these mistakes and then I have to fix them somehow.
Yeah, I mean like...
It's like my own torture somehow. So, you know, let's unite the world at Christmas, man.
Yeah.
Just let's... It's... You have to love the message of the song.
Yeah, like the chorus and the like title has a really like we talked about them before, like the song that everybody sings, all the famous artists. we talked about it several times on this podcast.
I know that we probably talked about it, but what artist? Wait.
No, like, you know, when the song that like everybody gets on, like.
You mean We Are the World?
We Are the World. Yeah, that's
like we mentioned it so many times, and I think it's like two or three times now. You forget what song.
Yeah, I always forget what the song is called.
But you just know everybody's on it.
Yeah.
You're like, who's everybody? I actually think, is there a chance that? Can you just Google if James Brown is on We Are the World? Is there a chance?
Yeah, he probably is. Or like...
I'll just want to talk about this. Like, the start of Let's Unite the World at Christmas. Just the start of the... we can swear, but I'm still saying, like, the start of this fucking... Oh my God, it's so good. Like, if a bell could ring and everything could change and all... Or like, if the bell could ring and everybody could sing. Like, and also... It kind of gives me like the Grinch stole Christmas vibes, where everybody in Hootown holds hands and sings Christmas songs, and that's the most important thing. It's not like if you're rich or poor, if you have presents. The most important thing is coming together and uniting, and also maybe using these negative and positives, experience to unite and sing about this and unify in song. And we've talked about this, like how song is one of the few things, song/music and food maybe, are two things that kind of transcend all languages and cultures. You can not understand Japanese like we did, but we did a Japanese record and I didn't understand everything, and the translation sometimes sucked, but I loved the music. We could do a Spanish album and it could be the same, and you know, and it's so interesting how that works. And then like food also I really feel like this Let's Unite the World at Christmas, if you can get the drift or like the feeling of the music, it will unite us all. How's it going on your end? Nothing?
No, it doesn't seem like he was on it. And it kind of makes sense with him being the narcissist that he is.
It's like, I'll do it if I can be the only one doing it. Or also, do I get paid?
It was funny because like they have listed them like like this is the composer. The composer is Quincy Jones, and they have the soloist and they list them, and then they have the chorus.
Yeah.
So I was going for the soloist, and then I went over to the chorus, and then I went back up because like no, he wouldn't be in the chorus.
No, of course he would. He would not be in the chorus, bro. Yeah. What can you tell me, man? Do you agree with some of these like things I'm saying about like unification and singing the same song and stuff?
Yeah.
Transcending all time and space.
Yeah, and definitely. And like this is the most Christmassy song on this album, and it's very like this like. Yeah, it has a good message, and I really like this song. It has this very classic Christmas feel of like everybody get together and.
I mean, I just agree. Can I say more to agree? Bob and Nick, Bob my head.
Yeah. So here's the here is like where I reference Gene Red,
because
he does some great works with the. I wrote down bells because it kind of feels like bells also, but also like the vibraphone and
The xylophone and the
mobile
phone and the camera phone.
Yeah, everything.
Also, why do English people say a camera phone? It makes every phone has a camera now. I mean, like I know.
It's like,
not that far back. Like I know Doctor Who. Like when it was like the 2010s, they were still saying camera phone. It's like why?
Yeah, but I think that died out like. Maybe
after 2010,
maybe like I would say 2015-16.
Maybe makes sense. It's just like an English thing.
Yeah.
So they have all the phones. That's all that we know.
Yeah.
You Know It is the next song.
Yeah.
And tell me what I know, Viking, or do you know it? What do you know about this song?
I know that it's written by Alfred Ellis and Bud Hopgood.
And I know that this song tells me Christmas time is here.
Okay.
I don't know why, but it kind of gave me like... Yeah. Christmas is, you know, like when you get the first snowdrops and it stays on the ground and you're getting like, Christmas is here. Or it kind of gives me that feeling and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I think for me, like, I would say the three last songs on this album uses the bells and the vibraphone very, very well. And like, it has this... It feels kind of like ringing Christmas in a sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like... So we've talked about this, actually. You know Carol of the Bells?
Yeah.
That is in Home Alone. It freaks me out. We talked about that.
Yeah.
But this is... Because it kind of scares me because of the like fear, how dramatic it is. This is kind of the positive side of the Bells song. Yeah. It's like, it's actually calm and quiet and you can just relax instead of like having like almost like a psycho... Carol of the Bells attacking you with their dramatic music. You have this James Brown chill xylophone bells going, and you're just relaxing, having some chestnuts roasting on an open fire, some hot chocolate, and chilling.
Now I'm just wishing that James Brown did the soundtrack to the Psycho remake.
With your bare self,
he probably would do that sound with his voice.
Yeah, because you know where he sings ooh wee.
Yeah,
he can kind of ooh wee wee wee. Yes, somebody that is a James Brown impersonator and interpretator, I guess. Hit the podcast up. We will talk about this, and we can monetize this somehow. We'll do it. What else do we know, Viking? What else do we know about this song? Or do you want to go to the next one?
No, we go to the next song.
Santa Claus Gave Me a Brand New Start.
Yes.
This song also has the vibes and the silo and the phones. And it's so good.
Yeah, I love it. It's really good. And
Also, I love the outro of the song. It's really good.
And we kind of have to talk about the title of the song.
Yeah.
Because... I was still peeling the onion here.
Yeah.
And like, so it's called Santa Claus Gave Me a Brand New Start. So what if this is the sequel to Santa Claus, Santa Claus?
Ah, that's what you're thinking.
So this is a song where Santa Claus gives
Santa Claus his Santa Claus start.
His Santa Claus present.
Yeah, because Santa Claus...
Which is a pile of money, I guess? No.
This is my third, you know, in movies you have your third turn act.
Yeah.
This is your, like, where Santa Claus takes off a mask to reveal he was Santa Claus. Underneath, he was Santa Claus being James Brown as Santa Claus.
Oh, my God. Now he's seeing a Scooby-Doo-esque ending where it's a Santa Claus.
It was Mr. Brown all along?
Yeah. It's a classic, like, Coca-Cola Santa Claus.
Oh, my God,
And they pull off the mask and it's James Brown under.
Yes, I would have got it away with it if it wasn't for you dang kids and that mangy mutt. Yeah. Ooh, wee! With his bad self.
And what that says about anything is up to you.
Oh, yeah. But I like the outro of the song. And it really, like, it has a good contrast to the opening song. And all these three being like instrumentals and stuff really has a good contrast to that like opening song. I like it. I like the album a lot. Is my you know, lasting thoughts, spoilers already.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But yeah. Yeah. I agree.
You want to get into a little more lasting thoughts? So
we can get into lasting thoughts.
So I like the album. I really like, and I know he did other Christmas albums.
Yeah. This is his second Christmas album. Yeah. I forgot to mention.
And there's
that.
Like a box set of the.
Yeah, he did a like collection of.
But I wish there was more on this album because I don't know if the other one has the same sound or feeling or energy. So, but it gives me a reason to check out the other stuff too. So that's at least good. But I wish there was more on this album because it's only 11 songs, but it's like 40 minutes or something.
Yeah,
and a lot of it is, like we said, kind of weirdly instrumental, which is awesome, but also weird.
Yeah. I mean, like. I like it. Like, to me, honestly, much of why I like this song is the first song.
The album, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, exactly. In a sense of a Christmas album. That is probably the song I go back to the most from this album. I mean, like, it's like if you want to create like a, you know, sit in front of the fire Christmas kind of like
chestnuts roasting.
Yeah, that kind of mood. This is maybe not the record you put on, but I think it's still a great record. And
but if you want to get up with your bad self,
yeah,
and dance,
but goddamn, it's Christmas for me.
Yeah,
that's pretty much my thoughts about this record.
So yeah. It was a good record. I liked it. Yep. I kind of wish we could do more holiday albums because they're so fun to do.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We should maybe. We've dropped so many hints for future stuff to do in this podcast, but maybe we could do Easter albums, Hanukkah albums. Oh, well, that's, I mean, like October, Halloween albums, Thanksgiving albums.
I've been wanting to do.
But like albums, what is there? I mean, we don't have it, but like Memorial Day albums, I don't know, you know.
Actually, I had the thought, like, I kind of missed this year because we kind of did so many episodes, so many like months ahead. But I wanted to do like a spooky.
Yeah, I was thinking
during
that too.
October.
Yeah, that's what was one reason I was thinking Rocky Horror instead of Hamilton. But but we'll see. Next year is next year. We have time.
Yeah.
Right now we're gonna focus on the future, which is the future episode.
Yeah.
So your
Christmas pick.
I didn't have time to do the whole thing. So, but I'm gonna give you hints.
Creating a record.
Yes,
like,
we're doing
it's
it.
My Christmas record.
So we're doing it right here on the podcast. So we have some people on this album, and I want to see if you can, like, which artist would have these artists featuring him or her. Her or him or they. So
is it she and him? No.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I'm trying to keep it vague.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but which day artist? Which artist would have these artists featuring? So we have. I'm just gonna mention names, and if you recognize them, you recognize them. I wanted to say which bands they're from because some of them you would recognize the band they're playing in. Yeah. But we have Billy Gibbons. We have Brad Paisley, who I think is from. ZZ Top, I think.
Oh yeah.
Rick Wakeman. We have Judy Collins, which I recognize the name of. Mm-hmm. We have Todd Rundgren. Mm. Joe Louis Walker, but also we have Danny Bander. Mel Collins. We have Artemis Pyle. But I think the names you were gonna. One of these is a drummer from. Lynyrd Skynyrd. One is a guitarist from ZZ Top. So there's. When you know that, you're like, oh, Ian Anderson is a name I recognize. But the biggest names, we have Henry Rollins, who we talked about, and Iggy Pop. Which artist would have these people featuring them? Who?
Well. No, which artist?
Yeah, which artist would have them featuring? I can give you more clues, of course.
Because, like, before you said Henry Rollins and, like...
Iggy Pop, man.
Iggy Pop, I had some ideas, but that kind of threw me off.
This is the first ever Christmas album from a very dramatic musical person... And a legend of stage and screen.
Is it Alex Cooper? No?
No.
I was like...
And stage and screen is, you know, theater and movies and TV.
I was like...
And...
Alex Cooper is really...
This person is known to be an admiral.
Admiral?
Yeah. Okay, do you want the last?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to try this.
This is my one point.
your last one. So I'm going to do an interpretation of the person. Jingle bells? Jingle bells? Jingle all the way?
Oh, is it...
It's William Shatner. Shatner Claus.
Oh, yeah.
A Christmas album. or the Christmas album. So it's William Shatner's Shatner Claus, the Christmas album. Look at this poster, man.
Yeah. Speaking of like being a Santa suit.
Yeah. This is I've been eyeing this. This came out 2018, if I remember correctly, maybe 19. But I've been eyeing this for a Christmas present for myself and maybe somebody who does a podcast with myself.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't have the time, so I'll just do it like this.
Yeah.
I've actually gonna say this as a tease. I've never listened to this. I know nothing. I just know it's William Shatner, and we love our William Shatner. Yes. And we've talked about William Shatner. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's
Shatner Claus, the Christmas album. You love the pun. So that's the next episode.
Listen that will be a ride.
Oh, yeah.
And it will surely be a very...
I kind of wish that I hope that my interpretation of Shatner is almost on point. Like,
yeah.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
Yeah.
On a one horse open sleigh.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't do the best Shatner, but it's kind of, I hope we're on point.
Yeah. But so yeah, also like it's
It's gonna be something. We talked about him. We're gonna get into the next episode.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that's the next episode. Listen to that album, come back, talk to us about it. Find us everywhere on the social medias, which is The Record Swappers everywhere. Email us at therecordswappers@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. With any thoughts, ideas, records, anything you want, send our podcast through all the podcast socials or like podcast networks to your enemies, your loved ones, or as a Christmas present, slide it in a like little Christmas present DM somehow.
Yeah, and tell us what is your favorite Christmas record.
Yeah, and just also, if you can, subscribe, like, review, follow on every social media platform you can. It helps us. It helps us, you. You helps us, you.
Yeah.
So thank you. Happy holidays for now. We'll see you at the next episode. And we'll swap at you next time.
Bye-bye.